for a few seconds. Thank you, McGirth, for asking us to look at Philemon. It's not a book that you get read from occasionally, frequently in church, and it has only one chapter. And we'd like for you to turn to Philemon, please. Philemon, what chapter? Oh, okay. Philemon chapter 1. We're going to read just a few verses and then talk about the main character of the book. Philemon verse 4. Paul is speaking, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints." That'll tell us what Philemon, what Paul thought of Philemon. Now, look down at verse 8. "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to ask thee, which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." In jail. But that's not what he says. He doesn't give Rome the, he won't let them smile upon him. He won't even acknowledge that he's in jail. He says, "I'm a prisoner, but not of Rome, of the Lord Jesus. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own heart, whom I would have kept with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind or without thy permission, I would do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Now, not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself." And this is one of the sweetest words in the verses in the Bible. It speaks so beautifully of the Lord Jesus. "If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on my account." That's what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary for you and for me. "I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou dost owe unto me, even thine own self besides." And may God add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. There are three people that are concerned in the epistle. The one bears his name, the one who wrote it. Anybody know what Paul means? My Bible's got it right there, so I didn't have to look for it. Clint won't be able to read this. That's who wrote it. This is who he wrote it about. Anybody know what that means? Profitable. The man who stole. Profitable. What about Philemon? What does Philemon mean? Come. Loving one. A little one wrote to a loving one about a profitable one. I'm not sure about the meaning of this one. He was a big man, the apostle Paul was. Maybe he was small in his own eyes. Philemon was certainly a loving man. We read together how Paul said, "How you have compassion and love for the Lord Jesus and for the saints." And Onesimus wasn't profitable at all to start off with. But he became profitable because he came to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. Philemon lived in Colossae. That's the place where Paul wrote the book of Colossians to. I'm sure you guessed that. And Philemon got saved under Paul's preaching. Remember the verse? "Thou owest me thine own self beside." He got saved by Paul's preaching. And then Onesimus, his servant or his slave, ran away, took money or stole from him, ran into Rome where he figured he'd, I suppose, get away from it all. But the Lord caught up with him, arranged that Onesimus and Paul meet in jail. Onesimus got saved, and that presented a problem for Paul. Onesimus was good to him. He said, he's profitable to me, but I can't keep him. I've got to send him so he will do what's right by his master. So he sends him off to Philemon with the letter that you and I, a little bit that you and I have read together. That's the setting of the story. Philemon's a Christian, lovely Christian. Onesimus is a slave, a stealing slave. Paul's in prison where Onesimus gets saved, and he's taking a letter back asking that he be received, this letter from the great apostle. Ness. Let's call him Ness, because Onesimus is hard to say. He stole from Philemon a letter with a D. What does that make him? A word beginning with the letter D. That makes him... Anybody? So he is dishonestness. Let's use the English language and spell out the things that's wrong with this man to begin with. He is dishonestness. Somebody read Exodus 20 and 15, please. If you answer a question right or read anything, I have a prize for you. Thou shalt not steal is right. That's what the Bible says. Thou shalt not steal. And Onesimus showed the truth of his character. He didn't know the Lord Jesus. He didn't have the Spirit of God within him to stop him from doing the things that he wanted to do. He saw his master's goods, and he stole some of them. I know that because Paul says to Philemon, whatever he owes to you, charge it to my account. I'll pay for it. So therefore he must have stole, and he was dishonestness. Not only was he dishonest, he was useless. Can you give me another word for useless? It's in the passage. Unprofitable. Thank you. Unprofitable. He was unprofitableness. Romans 3:12. Go ahead. Uh-oh. Not a soul? Did you say none? No, not one? Me and you? Everybody. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. We can talk about Onesimus being dishonest, but we have nothing on Onesimus. We are just like he was. You know, you don't have to steal every day of your life to be a thief. How many times do you have to steal to be a thief? One time. And I suppose, pardon me, I wouldn't call you so beautiful and so lovely people, I wouldn't call you. But we are, you know. We all take what don't belong. You don't have to go into a person's home and take something out or take money. I can work for you and steal your time just by not doing my job. And we all have that within us because we have a sinful nature, and this man was both dishonest and unprofitable. And I've already given you the other one. Another word for unprofitable is uselessness. Useless now to his boss and useless to God. Nothing that he could do to please God. A terrible state to be in. And then, because he did what was wrong, he is He did what was wrong, so he is what's the opposite of wrong? Right. He is unrighteous. He is unrighteousness. It's taking me longer to write them. He is unrighteousness. Somebody read for me Isaiah 64 and 6.
But we are all our sinners and all all our righteousness as filthy rags, and we are all of you paid as a meat, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away.
Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I mean, that's not your bad deeds. That's not my bad deeds. That's the best I can do as an unsaved person. But you say, I know some unsaved people who are as good as Christians. Good in whose eyes? Good in your eyes or my eyes? What about God's eyes? The very best an unsaved person can do is like filthy rags in God's sight. And that was where Onesimus found himself, unrighteous. And also he was hopeless. Who was here recently and spent the whole time talking about hope? He started in hope. He was in the middle with hope and he finished with hope. Brother Rex Trogdon. Everything he had to say was hope. He was hopelessness because he had no care or no provision for the future. If he thought that the things he stole was going to carry him through, he was sadly mistaken, because there would come a day when everything that we have, everything that we own in this life, will fade away, be of no value to us. Even about Christians, Paul could say, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. We have to have hope beyond the grave, hope for the other side. Because after 70, who knows? And some people don't make it to 70. Last year, there was a little one-year-old baby that passed away in Spanish Wells. You know where that baby is? Do you know where that baby is? The Lord Jesus. So David says, I cannot go, he cannot come to me, but I can go to him about his child. But Onesimus was hopelessness. And for the last one, Isaiah 57:20.
What the wicked are not like the double tree, but it cannot last the dwarves have on my hand.
And so he is, it's in the passage, in the verse. He is, yes, he's wicked, but the word is, pardon? The wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest. He is restlessness. What a picture. What a picture. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, I've got your MO up on the board. You're dishonest, unprofitable, useless, unrighteous, hopeless, and restless. That's what the Bible says. Whatever face you put on, whatever you look like, as you walk the streets of Spanish Wells and as you deal with your life and with others here, that is a picture of a person without the Lord Jesus. But I mentioned to you that Onesimus found Paul, or Paul found Onesimus, and I don't think either one of them is right. What do you think happened? Who found who? I think the Lord Jesus brought them together. I think God, in his sovereign will, in his mercy, he didn't make Onesimus trust the Lord Jesus. But he brought him to a place where he could hear the message. He must have heard it back home, because his master Philemon was a Christian, and a wonderful Christian. But now, in the big metropolis of Rome, the big city teeming with people, one in jail and the other, maybe he did something wrong and went to jail in Rome. I don't know, but God brought them together. He was gloriously saved, and Paul wrote back and said, now he's profitable to me. And to you. And honestness, dishonestness became honestness. He cleaned up his life. He turned over a new sheet, and neither one of them would have helped him. He trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and his entire life was changed. And as a result of his life being changed and coming to know the Lord Jesus, his attitude and habits changed. If somebody tells you they're a Christian, you have every right after 6 months and to see nothing change in their lives to question whether or not they are believers. He became honestness. And, of course, the other one is in the passage. Paul says he has become profitable to me and profitable to you as well. That's in verse 11. Somebody read Ephesians 4:28, please. You got to look for these. I didn't put them up on the board. Why does God make us honest? Go ahead. Isn't it wonderful? God takes a dishonest man, a thief, makes him honest, lets him go to work, and now instead of taking what belongs to other people, he makes enough for himself, and what does he do with the balance? He gives to people in need. And that's wonderful. Only the cross of the Lord Jesus can do that for a man, or a woman, or a boy, or a girl. And we read in Philemon 11 how Paul said, he's profitable to me and to you. And the same word, he became usefulness. Paul says he's useful to me, and I'm going to send him to you, and he'll be useful to you as well. And God has an eye on every child of his that's in this room tonight. I believe with all of my heart that he's got something for you and you and you and you to do. All it needs is for you to surrender. If you've given your life to him and you're saved, all you have to do is surrender yourself, your will, your desires, everything you own. Just lay it before the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, that doesn't belong to me anymore. That belongs to you. Why don't you go ahead and use it? You know, sometimes I've said that to the Lord and then I've got in the way. I said, Lord, I really want you to use me. And then sometime later he's tried to, and I wouldn't let him. That's very, very sad. But that doesn't have to be the case in our lives. We can be useful if we surrender to the Lord Jesus. Somebody read Proverbs 16 and 8. Proverbs 16 and 8. Go ahead. Better is little with righteousness than great revenues, great money, great holdings, great belongings, and not have. I wish we could lay hold of the truth that we need to look at spiritual things and not physical things. But you say, Roddy, we need them. Of course we do. Thank the Lord for the things that he gives us. He gives us the Lord Jesus, and with him he gives us what? All things richly to enjoy. They all come from the Lord, and we can enjoy them. And as the other verse said, we can have others enjoy them as well. And so from unrighteousness, he comes to righteousness. Are we changing his name? Honest, profitable, useful, righteous. Isaiah 57 and 20. Isaiah 57 and 20. This will be.
Pause.
Go ahead.
But the wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, those waters cast up mire and dirt.
Yeah, I've jumped one that was for this one. The wicked is like a troubled sea that cannot rest. It casts up mire and dirt. So he's now useful, righteous, hopeful, and restful. I'm afraid I'm looking at the clock more than I'm looking at the board. Restful. I spent nights as a boy. Let's say when I was 15. I spent nights as a boy wondering if the Lord had come during the night and I had been left behind. We had some wonderful preachers of the gospel that would come to Spanish Wells when I was a boy. The man who came and under whose ministry I was saved was named Alfred Sands. There's no point in my trying to tell you who he is because the young ones won't remember, won't know. But that changed to the night I got saved. I went to bed that night, and I don't remember it like it was yesterday, but I slept peacefully. The rest of a quiet and trusting soul came over me, and I rested in the Lord Jesus, and I've been resting ever since. And one day I won't be here, and you won't be here. We will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus, and we'll be at perfect rest. But you know, there's a responsibility that you and I have as Christians. Paul spoke to Philemon, and he got saved. Paul spoke to Onesimus, and he got saved. And you and I need to speak to those around us so that they can get saved. And you say, like me, but I'm scared. Do you know what they'll say about me if I just go around asking people? Can you imagine me going to my friends tomorrow and saying, hey boys, I want to ask you something. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Scared? Yes, so am I. But I'll tell you a secret. If you do it tomorrow, and it's hard, and they laugh at you, and you live your life for the Lord Jesus consistently, so that your life is honest and profitable, useful and righteous, hopeful and restful. If you portray those things in your life, as you keep witnessing, they will stop and slow down and stop there laughing, and they'll realize that what you're doing is not showing off, but you're showing loving concern. And the Lord Jesus will honor your efforts that you put forth in His name. You know that little saying that says, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now that's very true. You'll carry nothing out of this life that you have gained from an earthly point of view. But everything that you send up to heaven in obedience and in love and in faithfulness to the Lord Jesus, you'll find there. I am not an expert in this, but I have a feeling that that's what the Lord Jesus is using to build our mansion. How much are you sending? How much am I sending? What will that dwelling place be like? Whatever it is going to be wonderful. But can you imagine a little old lady that you never heard say very much, but that you know to be a consistent that and prayer warrior? When I think of this, I think of Sister Betty Jean. I have a feeling she's going to have one of the biggest mansions when we get to heaven. Now that is available to each of us in the meeting tonight, but not to those who don't know the Lord Jesus. Not if you die without knowing Him. Won't you consider giving your life to Him tonight and change like Onesimus did, and that we'd be able to say those things about you? But more than that, that the Lord Jesus will know those things about you. You will honor and love Him for the rest of your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we have had this time to talk with the young people about Your love. Thank You for that little book tucked away near the end of the Bible, the book of Paul to Philemon. Thank You for the life and testimony of Onesimus as he changed and went back to his master, his earthly master, to exhibit those things that were Christ-like in his life. History tells us that he became the bishop of Ephesus in his later life. What Onesimus did, we don't know whether it was this man or not, but perhaps it was. Oh, wonderful. To have a life that begun with dishonesty, to go on to be one which would honor the name of the Lord Jesus and be a blessing to those around Him. We pray this blessing on each person that's come out to the meeting tonight, for we ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thank you for coming, and thank you for listening, and thank you for helping. I'm going to stay back here and give the prizes out to all those who
who came as you all leave. Good night. The Lord bless you.